virtually no chance it'll actually make you sick. But if you're a germaphobe, apparently it's better to just sit back, do nothing, and watch the whole thing burn. Which I also hear is Donald Trump's governmental strategy. Joined now by Scott Washington here in the studio for another round of History Matters This Week in History. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know if I'm going to go to a birthday
party
after
this.
It's
a slow burn on that joke.
That was just perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Just when you think you can't hear anything else, you got. And historians are all just starting to say, and this was the final thing. And then they're crossing out going, no, wait,
no,
there's another one.
This is the final thing. No, but so this is the one over here. Oh, Lord. And the best thing about the Jeff Sessions thing is, like,
who would have thought people would be coming to his defense?
Yeah, and the people who are coming to his defense, like, man, he's not doing the sort of job as Attorney General that I would like the Attorney General to do. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
But,
yes.
Yeah.
The latest being the going after cities that have.
Well, that's the next to latest thing. Sanctuary cities. But then yesterday was the friend of the court brief in the court case on discrimination, where now the DOJ is arguing that
my gosh, that's just
sexual orientation isn't covered by the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, and I can't help but imagine maybe this was the all of the president's plan to make it seem like, come to his defense when, in fact, these are indefensible policies.
Now, I will say on the Civil Rights Act, like, there has been a long push.
Yeah.
We're going to get to this week in history eventually. There has been a long push to add sexual orientation as a protected category to federal and state anti-discrimination laws, which does suggest that it isn't, in fact, currently covered. So there is a point to be made there, but still not the sort of thing that I want to say.
Things have moved forward, and in fact, it's appropriate on July 25th, 1960, is when the Greensboro lunch counters were integrated
finally. Were integrated, yeah.
Started in February of that same year when students sat down and began the sit-ins. And finally, it was an economic factor that convinced the folks to do to make those changes, and a good thing. But here we are talking about discrimination 60 years later,
And even with the Greensboro sit-ins, like, this suggests a number of things. First of all, things, even great injustices, unfortunately, do take time to resolve. These sit-ins started in February.
Yes.
The desegregation didn't happen until July.
That's
and that
right.
was a national story for all of those months. Economic pressure works, although it doesn't happen overnight. It does work. And this victory doesn't necessarily mean the end of the process by any stretch of the imagination. This is still fairly early in the civil rights movement.
Right.
There was
That's
a lot
right.
more to go.
That would, and you know, there was a time when people did the same thing. They believed, oh, well, people shouldn't have that right. We should be able to continue to discriminate. So if there's anything that history tells us, and especially here in the United States, it's been a forward progress of inclusion. And that's a great thing. That's what the Statue of Liberty stands for. That's the symbol that we want in our lives and our lives of our children, too.
And it has been, it's been forward progress. It's also been occasionally two steps forward, one step back. So
yes,
you have
has.
To watch for the one step back. There was the, it is somewhere this week, the, I think the birthday of the last person who was ever lynched in the U.S. Monday, July 24th was the birthday of Michael Donald in 1961. He was 19 years old when he was lynched in Mobile in 1981.
He was randomly chosen.
Yeah. For a crime which a Klan member was later convicted of.
Yes.
They, of course, blamed it on an African-American, and then went out and chose someone at random and killed him.
Now, the follow-up, too, is that his mother brought a wrongful death suit against the Klans of America, and in 1987, they were found liable and sentenced to pay damages of $7 million, which effectively bankrupted them.
Yeah.
So that's a case where the law was used in a good way to
the civil law, but not the criminal law.
That's right.
So,
All very right. serious stuff.
We're talking about This Week in History, by the way, if you're just joining us.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why these amendments are important. It's hard to believe that the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment became necessary to address issues of discrimination, including all these people who had been enslaved. And then once they were freed, there was still resistance, the 13th Amendment. Once they were freed, then the 14th became incredibly important about saying anyone who is born here in the United States yep. is a citizen. And then the 15th, which granted certain other rights as well. So
and the 14th Amendment was ratified this week, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, it was.
In 1868.
Yeah, which is a really important kind of things to realize that sometimes it takes that,
yeah.
That people don't just do the right thing, that we want it codified. We want it to say this is part of our principles of who we are. And certainly that's true with LGBT folks as well.
Yep.
And that's very important. So
speaking with Scott Washington this week in history, what else happened this week?
Well,
we got a lot.
Oh, well, yes, there is. On a slightly lighter side, the fellow who invented Tupperware, it's his birthday.
Mr. Tupper.
Week. Yeah, Mr. Tupper, which I didn't know that. It makes sense, though. July 28th, 1907.
Earl Silas Tupper.
And he not only invented this in 1942, but he used the neighborhood party method to sell it.
Which is real. Like, what other item or product is so directly associated
right.
with the neighborhood party? Like, you've got Avon,
right.
where people go door
That's
to
right.
door.
There we go.
Mary Kay. Okay. And
Shackley,
and Amway,
think, yeah,
right?
Amway, yeah.
But even those are not the neighborhood
no.
party. Like Tupperware
this
was a
one,
really specific
this is
thing.
Huge, and it
yeah.
was a very practical, good product as
oh,
well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where we can all.
I still have a lot of Tupperware that I inherited from my parents, who inherited
you?
Them from their grandparents, from my grandparents.
Give
yeah,
me a passing this
passes
down. To
down.
You.
Yeah, it's a family heirloom now. Like
if
Tupperware
you drop
lasts
it, it'll
forever.
Bounce.
Yeah, exactly. None of this breakable heirloom stuff
that's
that
right.
falls off a countertop and smashes, and then it's gone. Tupperware lasts forever.
Exactly.
Dagnabbit.
These are and on the other extreme, we have something that. It comes up on July 30th. It's National Whistleblowers Day.
Yes.
It commemorates that day in 1778 when the Continental Congress passed a historic and unanimous resolution honoring 10 sailors and Marines who spoke out against their commander's abuses of office. Now, I found this fascinating. These are the people, you hear about leaks. What do we do about leaks?
Yeah.
This is what they had to say. The founding fathers and I suppose their mothers and whoever else declared that it was the duty of all Americans to give the, and this is the quote,
mm-hmm.
to give the earliest information to Congress or other proper authority of any misconduct, frauds, or misdemeanors.
Absolutely.
And one commentary in modern terms is it is American duty to report corruption when they suspect it.
Yeah.
Now that's just, you know, mind-blowing to realize that in the very early instances of this country, this was not only tolerated, but it was encouraged.
Yeah.
And that's a very good thing. And we
at
stand
least in this
that.
One instance.
Yes.
I think. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's exactly right. But I'm saying that when you hear some of the criticism from the current administration, oh, how are people leaking this information? Well, yeah. It turns out that there's a historical precedent.
Well, it's
for
fine.
It.
Just wait until someone blows the whistle on a Democrat, and then all of a sudden leaking
oh,
will become a great American pastime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes. Everyone loves whistleblowers when it's
we
blowing
do.
The whistle on the other guy,
that's
right?
Yeah. Well, it's important stuff, and that's
it
part
is
of history,
yeah.
too. And we are living in historic times that it's just hard to keep up with, that's the final thing we have to
yep.
worry about for a while. No.
And it's a good recognition, and this is commemorating an incident that happened back in 1778,
yeah.
and probably very much the same thing.
Yes.
People who had to speak out against
right.
someone who was in a position of power and a position of authority over them, who had
yes.
every opportunity to retaliate, to fire them, to demote them, to make their lives
yes.
miserable, and they did it anyway, and probably paid a pretty significant price
that's
for
right.
doing it.
Well,
and it's
to,
very much the same story.
And part
today.
Of the American character is just a real resistance to authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And I think that's another real part of the DNA of who we are, we both enjoy the stories about kings and queens, but when it comes to actually having somebody like that, no.
Yeah.
There's real resistance.
Yeah.
On the fun side
Fingers
of things,
crossed.
See, we get real history,
yeah.
but then there's another great, really interesting kind of story of history, and this is why when we look at history in a weak context like this, it's really interesting. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis began their comedy duo on July 25th, 1946.
Yes.
And then they did their final performance together 10 years later, a day later, July 26th. Which
interesting.
I just find really one of the more interesting kind
did
of...
Did that only last for 10 years? Did they keep making movies together into the 50s and 60s?
I want to say I don't know. That's a good... Yeah. See, we always have follow-up questions we have to find out about how people will be going back.
The stage
Let's
show
start
probably
watching
lasted
it.
For 10 years. Yeah. And the official debut was in Atlantic City. Like, you think about Atlantic City now as being sort of the casino capital, but Atlantic City was just the beach destination in New Jersey for 100 years before that. And here's Martin and Lewis getting their start.
I think people are always surprised to know that New Jersey has a coastline.
Yes, right?
Atlantic City is
well,
like
now
somewhere.
Now that the Jersey Shore is such a big thing, I think
well,
we're aware
true.
That
well,
they have a coastline.
So.
What they're surprised is that they have a nice coastline, I think.
That's right.
We can just move away from Snooki and everything's okay.
Well, and, you know, you think of the beach and here in the Carolinas, we have Carolina Shag. That's a very popular dance step. Well, this coming Saturday is everyone's permission to dance. It's National Dance Day. That was created as a way to raise awareness and to encourage Americans to embrace dance as a fun and positive way to maintain good health and combat obesity. Yep. It was started by, I think other people have contributed, but American Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton introduced a resolution to promote dance education and physical fitness on that day. So that's a good thing. You know, that's we run the gamut here, don't we? We dance along historical things. Now, one thing I was really surprised about, and this is why when we look at history, we find things. 1945, July 28th, is when a U.S. B-25 bomber crashed into the Empire State Building.
Yes.
Now, you know, we think 9/11 is the only time this has happened, and it's not.
Yeah.
And you just kind of wonder, where did the inspiration for that terrible, horrendous events of 9/11 happen?
Yeah.
Well, it had happened before in New York.
Yep. And that was 1945 in July. So this is right at the end of World War II well. So, man, that had to have been... You don't even think about what people must have thought on that
day.
Well,
you don't think there was a national emergency. Right. Or there's, even the word terrorism was not even really
not used
part
at the
of
time,
the
yeah.
lexicon, so.
So what happened today in history? Thursday, July 27th. What is, let's narrow it down to this particular day.
Now, I
want to
talk about an illegal immigrant.
Okay.
That is, you know, we think, oh my gosh, these undocumented aliens.
Uh-huh.
This guy was living in this country for years.
Yeah.
And actually.
Stirring up a ruckus,
oh my
by
gosh.
The way.
Yes,
yeah.
A deportation order, mm-hmm. and finally...
Causing trouble, thumbing his nose at authority.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm almost the most wanted in some ways. And this is the day, July 27th, 1976, when he was finally issued his green card. You might know him better as John Lennon.
Ooh.
Yes. It's, I feel like Paul Harvey, this is the rest
of the
story.
This is
the
rest of the story.
That's right.
Yeah. And so imagine that immigration hearing. He's a degenerate.
Yes.
Music was so much better back in my day.
Yes. Well, it's also an interesting day because on this day is when the armistice takes place in 1953 for the Korean War. And I was fascinated. I mean, you know, most of my... And maybe your, awareness of the Korean War is through MASH, the TV series. And I did not realize just how many people were involved. This is 3 years when the North Korean army pours over the border, 75,000.
And it's one of the deadliest wars in American history. I think World War II and Vietnam, and I think and the Civil War. And I think other than that, the Korean War is fourth. And we don't really talk about it very much.
Don't.
It's a forgotten war.
I mean, almost 34,000 U.S. military deaths. I mean, in 3 years.
In 3 years.
And more than that, the overall death total was 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's just like astonishing to think about. Like, what was... This is a different time.
And it
that
ends
we
with
need
a stalemate.
To, Yes.
And it ends with a stalemate, sort of restoration of the way it was before the war, and the conflict continues.
That's
what we're seeing today in North Korea versus South Korea, like this is still the lack of a resolution from back in 1953.
Well, and technically they are not at peace. There is no treaty been signed.
Right.
So it's kind of suspension. And
yeah.
That's very unnerving to think about.
Yeah. And then the other, we talked about the 14th Amendment that was ratified this week. On July 27th, this day in history, 1804, the 12th Amendment was ratified, clarifying how the president and vice president were going to be elected by the Electoral College. Thanks a lot, 1804.
Well, help fill in the gaps here because a lot about this, and people would be curious to know why this is necessary.
Yeah, this was post 1800. This was the initial Constitution was written and ratified and took effect before the dawn of political parties, so that when political parties emerged, as they inevitably and immediately did in the 1790s, come the 1800 election, all of a sudden you've got presidents and you've got running mates. You've got each party presenting its own ticket for president and vice president, so that rather than whoever finishes first becomes the president, whoever finishes second becomes the vice president. Now you've got a situation where people are casting electoral votes for two people, president and people are casting two electoral votes. Hmm. So all of the Federalists cast their votes for Adams and Pinckney, I think, if I remember right, as vice president. All of the Democrats are casting their votes for Jefferson and Burr. And Jefferson and Burr win, but there's no way to distinguish who the president and the vice president are going to be. And of course, it's a tie because all of the Democrats cast their two electoral votes for the same two people. So now you've got two people who are tied for first place. Who's the president?
Yeah.
It goes to the House of Representatives. They go back and forth and back and forth. And finally, Jefferson wins by one vote thanks to Alexander Hamilton, who hated both of them but hated Burr more, intervening on behalf of Jefferson, who had been his enemy for the last 10 years. And after that experience, something had to be done. So they wrote a constitutional amendment saying, okay, we're going to elect the president and the vice president separately now. And that's how it's been ever since.
And Burr was not happy
about
that.
And Burr was not happy about that.
Happy.
Yeah, that actually, I don't think that was even the trigger that led to the duel. I think that was a completely different...
Oh, yeah, well, they had a lifelong... antagonism between them.
Well, they just kept singing at each other every time they ran into each other. It was very weird.
Oh, well, there is something that happens too in on this is just kind of backtracking a day or two, July 25th, 1780, that has a local connection.
Okay,
it's this American general Horatio Gates took command of the Southern Army, and at that point they thought, okay, he'll help do it. No. In fact, Cornwallis defeats his army, and then an epic ride to rival the marathon takes place. Gates gallops back to Hillsboro, where again this epicenter of so much American history. And it's a huge ride, 240 miles.
Wow!
In order to report total defeat, in a letter to Congress, sent from Hillsboro. So I'm not sure I would ride so fast. We have not replicated that.
We can wait
that.
On this news for a little while.
Somehow I don't
see
we're going to have rides or, okay, on your mark, get set, go. And when you get there, write a letter as quick as you can.
As quick as you possibly can.
Well, thank you so much. Boy, that was speedy.
Yeah, by
really
the way, we lost.
The news.
We lost big time. All right, one more event in history. What do you got?
Okay. Well, I would say...
looking at 15 different pages here of historical events.
Well, this is on Sunday, and it's the 30th. It is International Friendship Day.
Aww.
So it's a day for celebrating friendship. So if you've got friends in your life that make a difference, this is a great day as you do any other day, but especially this day, to celebrate their presence. And that's history, too.
All right. There it is. History Matters this week in history. Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.